Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Columbia International University has 19,000 alumni around the world in 150 countries. The impact of us reaching the nations for Christ has been huge around the world. We are honored today to have a special guest with us, which I wanted to take a moment to introduce as we begin the ceremony. The chaplain and Colonel Larry Daback, U.S. Army, who is the Deputy Joint Staff Chaplain for the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., will be here and will later be introducing or having our benediction. But we welcome you today, Colonel Daback. Thank you. This morning, I am pleased to introduce our speaker. U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann is the co-chairperson of the Hammarskjöld and Wallenberg Societies at the United Nations. She's a former member of the United States House of Representatives who represented Minnesota for 8 years and served on the Select House Permanent Committee on Intelligence. She ran for president in 2012, appearing in 15 television debates as one of the first women in America to win a presidential contest. Prior to her time in public office, she worked as a federal tax attorney. I love people who take on the IRS, amen? We all love them, right? She was part of starting the first K-12 charter school in the U.S. and spearheaded educational reform in Minnesota. Michelle and her husband, Marcus, started a healthcare business, which employs about 50 employees and is a counseling center. Together, they've raised 5 biological children, and she has fostered 23 teenage girls. The first time I met her, and I didn't invite her today because she's been involved in politics. The first time I met her, when I went into her office in the U.S. Congress many years ago, she said, "First, Dr. Smith, before we start talking, we get on our knees and pray. It's a core value, prayer and faith, of this place." She is a champion of prayer now as the leader of the Jerusalem Project, which is calling nations to pray for Israel and to honor Israel. She will be leaving here and going to Iraq, where she will be working with Kurdish Christians that have been going through persecution. I welcome today Michelle Bachmann to have our address, commencement address.
Thank you, Columbia International University family. If there's anything that I've learned in the brief time that I've been privileged to be on this campus at CIU, it's that love is spoken here. Thank you for the love that you've shown to me. Thank you for the love that I have observed that you demonstrate for each other. And for you graduates who have been privileged to be here, I know that during your time here, as God has given you his calling, he's had to have established that calling in you as well. So let me just open with prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these lives. We come together under the power of your Holy Spirit, and we commission these graduates for the work in Jesus Christ that you have called them to do. Thank you, O God, for this moment. Amen. I also believe that it's so important, knowing all that you've been given during your years, your time here at Columbia International University, to realize the gratefulness that you have for those who went before and those who poured out their lives so that you could be where you are today, realizing this dream that was put in your heart. And I think the first people that we need to thank, that you need to thank today, are the people on this stage, the faculty of Columbia International University. Thank God for this faculty. These are extraordinary, godly men and women who have sacrificed, who went through all of their course of study, whose lives were prepared in advance for these good works that God gave them to do so that they could be here to pour into you, so you could be here today, so then you could out from here into other people's lives. Never forget these faces that are up here who have sacrificed for you when you go out and do the work that God has prepared for you. We also have Dr. Mark Smith and the administration that have taken this university after 96 years and have ensured that this is a place where the living God of the universe is exalted, and where this is an alive and growing Christian university here in South Carolina. Thank God now for the administration and President Smith. And we thank God for the Board of Trustees and for the board that holds up this university. You got to pay the bills here. You got to make it happen. So we are very proud of all of you board members that serve here. You know better than... Graduates, you know better than anyone that you didn't do this by yourself, that sitting behind you and on either side of you and even up in the balcony are your parents, are your spouses, husbands and wives, your children, your brothers, your sisters, grandpas and grandmas, and the friends, pastors, and the people who prayed, the people who paid, and the people who got you through. So you stand up, turn around, and thank those people who made this happen. Stand up. They deserve it. For the rest of your life, remember the importance of gratefulness. Gratefulness. Well, the scripture that I chose for you this morning is one that I believe is embedded in the term calling, because you have been given a very specific, very important calling that only has your name on it and only has your design. And this is the scripture that I have for you. I hope that you'll read it later today. I hope you'll inscribe this scripture on your program if you're sentimental and keep these things. And this is it. It is Ephesians 2:10, and it says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Ephesians 2:10, for we, meaning all of you here today, you are God's handiwork. In another version, the New Living Translation version, it says masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And if you think about it, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of all that is or ever was, the creator of every living being, who created you for his glory, he is the one of all that you would want to be the designer for your purpose. He created everything there is. You think of the greatest sculptors in the world, the greatest painters in the world, the greatest molders of the world, the greatest architects of the world, the greatest carpenters of the world. This God is the God who created you. You are his handiwork. Who you are right now is his handiwork. Amen. You're a masterpiece. See yourself that way. You're not just anybody. You are a masterpiece. You are in God's Louvre. You are in the National Museum. You're his masterpiece. And the scripture goes on to say of you that you are his handiwork. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works. Good works. Now, let's get something straight here. Does good works equal salvation? Is that what gets us into heaven? Good works? If you believe that, I'm here today to tell you, you're wrong. That's not true. Look further in that chapter, chapter 2 of Ephesians. It's very clear. Salvation has zero, zip, nada to do with good works. It has nothing to do with what you accomplish. Dr. Michelle became a doctor today. That is not her salvation, although she is pretty cute up here in her doctoral robe, I have to say. Yes, yes. But that's not salvation. There's only one thing that is salvation. Abraham said it in the book of Genesis. It says that he believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's it. It's been the same throughout all of history. We believe that God is who he says he is. We believe in his word. We agree with his word. When we do that, when we surrender ourselves, when we admit that we are sinners, when we admit and confess our sin, and when we believe God, that's our righteousness. Every single one of us is going to stand before this author who created these masterpieces. Every one of us, whether you're a graduate or not, you're going to stand there, and it's going to come sooner than any of us possibly think. And when we stand there, he's not going to say, how many billions did you make? And if you made enough, you get in. You think of like Mark Zuckerberg, multi-billionaire. He's going to stand before God, and the question for him will not be, how much money did you make? You're not going to set bags of gold here and think you're going to get it. That is not it. For him, for you, for me, the question is the same. Why are you here, and why are you going to be let in to spend all of eternity with me? And the only answer we have is that the mantle, the blood of Jesus Christ, that righteousness is put over us, just like your graduation gown is put over you, just like your honors robe is put over you. That's what you're going to put on. You'll put on his righteousness, not yours. And for anyone here today, and I imagine there are people who've never thought about that or made that decision, today's the day of salvation. Today. Today is the day when you can know, together with everyone else in this room, that you can spend eternity with the one who created you to be a masterpiece. That's a deal. So before you leave today, you make that decision. And I guarantee, just like a new life is starting today for all of you graduates, a new life is starting today for all of you. And that's where we go next in this scripture. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Every single one of us, the faculty, Dr. Smith, everyone here, we were created to do good works. And this is the important part, which God, the one who created you to be the masterpiece, he also prepared good works in advance for you to do. You know, when I was a little girl, I didn't even like playing with dolls. I had no time for it. I didn't like dolls, nothing about it. I get married. What happens? I get 5 kids. And then 23 foster children. You know, you have no idea what it is, the good works that God has prepared for you in advance. But I will tell you this. No one else is fitted to do that specific good work. I want you graduates to really think of this and catch hold of this right now. Right now, at this point in your life. There are 2 things that I told our kids. Number one was this. Never despise small beginnings. You're going to go out. You're going to look for your first job. You're going to be sure that you should be vice president, have the corner office, have 6 weeks off vacation. Your salary should be well over 6 figures, pushing on 7 before long. That's maybe what you see. And you know what? I hope and pray right now, in Jesus' name, you are all billionaires. I pray that right now. Because the first thing you do when you become billionaires is you write a big fat check to Columbia International University. Don't forget where you came from. Right, trustees? Right? Am I right? Faculty, am I right? That's right. That's what you do. That is gratefulness. You've been prayed for. Go out and produce. But it starts sometimes in very humble beginnings. Never despise those small beginnings. And I'll give you a perfect example. You're all well familiar with David from the Bible. And David, as you know, had the lowest of the low job. He was the runt boy in the family with all these big brothers. And his job was to look after the sheep. And one day his dad sent him with some food for his brothers who were doing the big shot job, which is to go out and be in the military and serve and fight against the Philistines. So he took the lunch, he brought it out, and he found out there's something going on. There was a buzz in the camp because there was a fight that was going to break out from Goliath, the biggest, baddest dude anybody had ever seen on the Philistine column. Nobody wanted to fight this guy. Nobody in all Israel, including King Saul, wanted to take him on. But this little shepherd boy, this runt, said, hey, what's in it for me? He was a good businessman. He was asking them, what's in it for me on this deal? And his brother, his oldest brother, got really mad. Really mad. Maybe some jealousy. Maybe they were embarrassed because they were not going to fight Goliath. David said, I think I will. And so his brother got mad at him, told him to get lost and go back to the sheep. And he did what a good little brother should do. He ignored his big brother. And instead, he recalled what the scripture said, the good works. He remembered what God had done for him. He'd seen miracles. How many have already seen God do miracles in your life and in your family's life? I say that to you because you've got good works prepared in advance that you are supposed to show up and do to advance the kingdom of God in this world. David recalled and remembered as he stood there when nobody else in Israel would take on this giant. He recalled how God miraculously helped him. A sheep was in the mouth of a lion, and he trusted God, and God reached in and helped him pull that sheep out of the mouth of the lion. David literally, with his own little hand, took the lion by the scruff of the neck and pulled the sheep out, and he lived, and the sheep lived. It was a miracle, and he learned from that. Then the same thing happened with a bear, and he learned from it. So when he was looking out at this impossible dream that nobody else would pick up, he said, God did that for me with a lion. He did that with me for a bear. And he said this to Goliath. And today he's going to deliver me. He's going to deliver you into my hands. And that's exactly what happened. You remember, he took his slingshot and he had five smooth stones. He only needed one. And he put it in the slingshot, and by faith, knowing that what the Lord God had done from him before, he let that thing go, and the Goliath fell, and it was over. And all of history changed. History changed for the people of Israel. History changed for the people of this world because he believed what God had done in his life before, miraculously. And he knew he could do it again. I'm here to tell you, you have already seen him work. Never despise small beginnings. He's got good works, and he's got work for you to do that he prepared in advance. Here's the other thing I don't want you to forget. You are a very important cog in the wheel. That's what I told our kids. Every one of us, God has given something to do. God has projects all the time. And your job is to do that part. You be a cog in the wheel. You show up and you do that job and the whole machine works. And it happens. You don't do your part, there's a problem. Those of you who are in sports, you know what I'm talking about. Every person has to show up, put on the jersey, get on the field. You do your part, the team wins. See, you're part of a bigger team, a more important team, his team, because you were bought at a price. The most expensive price ever paid, you were bought for a price. And that's why we are grateful. We are grateful, we are thankful, because we are a masterpiece. We are a masterpiece. Think of Bruno Mars when he says it in that song. Michelle Pfeiffer, masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. I'm just saying. You are a masterpiece. And I'm going to read it one more time, Ephesians 2:10. Oh, come on. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now go do it. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.